Parshas Bechukesai. So generally, Bini Bechukesai, everyone speaks about how Rashi says, you would think this is talking about being Mekayim Mitzvahs. The next words are Vetz Mitzvahs Tishmeruv Asi Samaysam. So what is the words in Bechukesai? Teilechu She'tiyu Amelam Batayra. It should be Amel and Tayra. What does this mean? So there are those who say over that this means that anything that you do for the Torah, whether it's going somewhere to learn, whether it's going to get a sefer, whether it's climbing up a ladder to get a sefer, like the days of old with the way the swarm shrunks worked, squeezing in a certain place, that is all included in Amel Spat Torah. It's Gemara Menachos Daf Ches that it says that one of the Amoraim forgot his learning, and instead of calling his Talmud to him to reteach him the Masechta, he went to his Talmud. Imagine your Rebbe showing up at your door and saying, I'm here for you to teach me. Why did he do that? So says Gemara, that he saw where he held that Hachim Yistayim El Tzvei, that it'll go in better like that. There are others who say that is not Amel Spatira. That is a good skula. And like the Gemara Menachos says, it'll help the learning going better. It's a good thing, but one should not think that they were Mekayim. They fulfilled Amelus Batera with that. Amelus is toiling in the pshat of something till the best and deepest of his ability that he's able. And that is the actual Amelus, which is always necessary in the Torah, always was, always will be. I punk heard someone saying today that could be in the Luchas Rishonis. There wasn't Amelus. It was just given to them. But once the Luchas were destroyed with the Eagle, so when we got the Luchas Shnius, then definitely it has to go Al Yedei Amelus in order to learn. Again, everyone to their ability. To the depth of the barrel.
When it said Bechukosai, isn't it talking about cooking?
So, yes, but Lamaisa Chazal's Darshani, that Mitzvah Tishmeru, that's referring to the actual mitzvahs that we're talking about, but the Chukaisa is actually referring to the Torah. It's actually referring to the Torah learning and the Amelus. I don't remember exactly, but I'm sure they say because of the Chukas Shemayim V'Aretz L'Samti, that maybe because we learn, that's why the world stands up. So that's the usage of the word Chaykiyam. That's a good point, but it's talking about the Amelus Patera. Okay. I just mentioned something from later on in the parsha first, and then we'll get back to the brachas and everything. It says in the klalos v'achaltem b'sar b'neichem v'sar b'neiseichem techelu, that one will eat his sons and his daughters right in the depth of teichah, how everyone's running right and left, eating everyone. Pashtas, you assume they're eating everyone because of the hunger. The Chazon Ish in his letters writes that it's actually another form and step of the klala of the curse, that it got so bad that a person or people lose their recognition or their actual tselem elokim in a way that it doesn't even seem bad to them anymore to eat other people. In other words, again, you would think Pashup Shad is, okay, they're so hungry, there's no food around, so they're going ahead and doing it. Chazon Ish is explaining that there's a deeper sense of the klal over here, the fact that they are actually going and doing such an atrocious thing, that itself is a part of the klala. The Chizkuni says that this is talking about people, good people, who make shidduchim with people who are not good simply for their money. So that's what it's saying. That's what it's saying, that it's like he's being oichel b'sar banuv u'b'noisev. He's eating his kids' flesh. In other words, like he's selling off his kids for the shidduch.
A parent or just a shatran?
It's referring to the parent. Well, I'm assuming it's referring to the shatran also, if he has a sense of responsibility for all the klai son, it's his. Exactly. Yes, that would also be forcing someone into something. That could also be like sachmed and other things, whatever. Forcing people into things, whatever. But this is so a parent who would do this specifically for the money when it's bad, not a good shidduch, and the Chizkuni is including that in it as well. Okay, fine. Now let's back up to the brachas. So, anyways, in Bechukesai Teilechu, you should go. right? Yeah, so we know the Or Chaim has some, I think, 40 pshatim in B'chukei Seteleichu, one of the, I'm sorry, 42, one of the things that he has the most on. So in number 7, he explains that that you could say pshat like this, that we know, it says that you're supposed to go to a makom Torah, which means you have to get yourself going there, lekatis raglav, which basically means, you know, literally cut his feet and get his feet going to go there. And you see in the Gemara, they would go learn for 6 months at a time, and then maybe they'd come back at a day. That's what you have to do. And he says, what's the telechu? That go away to somewhere where you'll be open and free. He says, it's not good to learn in your house. You'll be totally bothered with the need to take care of the needs of the house. Therefore, a person should leave his father and his mother and travel to a place to go after the Torah. Now.
Saying shouldn't have service.
What?
Shouldn't have service.
Shouldn't have service. What do you mean?
In Avil.
What do you mean?
Learning in Avil.
In Achrami.
No, like there should be phone service. There should be no phone service in Avil.
Okay, so
phone calls outside.
Okay, so happens to be.
So your wife can get you.
Happens to be that when Rav Shach's son-in-law was making one of the elitist top kollelim in Bnei Brak, I guess wherever it was at that time. So he wanted to make only one or two regular a phone that like maybe only they could call, the only the wives could call in, something, I don't know what. And Rav Shach said no. So he said, why not?
Oh, so no.
So he said exactly what Naftali is saying right now, that because this is a place that is set away and set out for everything. And he said, so his son-in-law said to him, yeah, but what's with all the wives, with the babies, whatever. Rav Shach said, a lie. It's my response. It's on me. Responsibility is on me. So that's the musig.
Wow.
That's that.
No, like nine months.
That's definitely the musig. We'll also mention another couple musagim, and then we'll try to pull it to ourselves. Another musig is that at the beginning of my Roshiva's yeshiva, Rebbe Leaf in Muncie, so they were sitting there, mamish, a little teeny basement, and they were learning second seder. You know, so you understand that if you come into a whole base medrash and see a whole bunch of people learning, then the following story wouldn't make too much sense. But from the point of view of the lady who walked in, what does she see? She sees like 8 people learning. So she says, oh, I'm making Sheva Brachas tonight. Can everyone please come help me with the tables? So Marashiva, who's learning at his table, gets up and like, excuse me, can I help you? She says, yes, I'm just looking, you know, big, young, strapping men. Let them come help me with the tables for the Sheva Brachas I'm trying to make tonight. He's like, I can help you. She's like, no, I don't want to bother the Rosh Hashiva. He's like, no. I can help you. They are learning. They cannot help you. He's learning as a job. He's supposed to be watching over them, and maybe as having the yeshiva in the neighborhood, then it's his responsibility to keep the peace. But them, they're learning. Don't bother them. So to try to pull it together is that, yes, of course, like Naftali saying, that would be the optimal, and there are such places. For instance, yeah. Yeshiva Sir Tzvi Kaplan, there is no such thing as a phone in that yeshiva. And
the phone's
in the building, Bechal.
Building?
In the building. And the place is Minutuk, exactly like Naftali is suggesting right now. That one should be it should be considered as if he's on the moon, right? What's the famous story with the Chafetz Chaim? I think, I don't know if it's a mashal or a real story, that a person all of a sudden, he either had an accident happen to him, or stamazah, he realized that he's towards the end of his life, or whatever. He chapta chapacha, that he's so getting older. And what happened? He told his wife from then on that I'm going to come home from Shachas, whatever, lock myself in the room and learn. And she started one morning, whatever, someone came with a huge business deal, and she started banging, and he didn't answer until the whole hour was up. She said, do you understand? You also big. She goes, for that hour, I'm dead. I'm not here. I don't exist. There only is Torah. So trying to pull this back together for us on our level, I think it could be said, again, exactly what you're trying to say, that each of us on our level try to realize what it is pulling us away, is not letting us go continue through a straight hour, or even like the Brisker Rebbe used to say, a straight minute. Do we learn 60 seconds out of a minute? Forget about 60 minutes out of an hour. Do we learn 60 seconds really out of a minute? Think about how much time I spent making sure everything's good in your mind about this. Well, the Gemara is going on, or the person reading the Gemara is going on across from you. But then, okay, finally, for now 10 seconds, now we spaced it out. Whatever's holding us back, whether it's a phone, whether it's a thing, it's something from a bit. Good, write it down on the side. Right, the phone would be shut off the phone. The thing from the business, write it down on a piece of paper and put it on the side. Then it's away from me. That's the point. Try to lock it in. If what's it called? What's it called? From a maaser from Rav Tzvi Shiva. He was looking around for the younger man who was supposed to daven quite soon for Myra for Rosh Hashanah, I guess second night, whatever, and he couldn't find them. So someone said they think they saw him walk to his house, which was right near Yeshiva. So he walks out and knocks on the door, and there's the younger man. So he said, Rosh Hashanah, what are you doing here? So he said, Lamaisa, I don't know how many kids he had, but he said, Lamaisa, I was sitting here learning. But I knew that it would give more of a presence and be easier for my wife to get the kids to bed if I was around. Now, we're not talking about during Seder. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a time when people could have not necessarily been doing anything specifically. And he chose, either Aruch Hayim, go out of your house. Okay. But he chose, go ahead, sit down in my house. He probably locked himself out from anything else that was going on, as he was doing what was necessary. And then that's what he did, right? I was just sitting with Rebbe. What? No, and Rebbe was masking. Yeah, he was masking him. His masking was a smart thing. Rebbe Eliyahu Levine.
That doesn't prove the point, because you were saying you should go away from.
Right. So we're trying to bring it down to our level, though. How do we bring this down to our level? It's that wherever we are. For instance, Rebbe Shmuel Kamenetsky says, "Do not send your eighth grader away to yeshiva if you have yeshiva in town." For high school, don't send them away. Young boys should be at home. So I or Chaim, he's got so many turds at home. Such a thing. For instance, how would you explain? So I think the answer could be that at least in the Musik Shabbat we can explain. Mm-hmm. That fine. So find the things that at least during the time that you are learning, and be able to shut them out in an appropriate way. I was just sitting with Rabbi Eliyahu Levine. I was familiar with him or not. One of the biggest Masvidim and Iluyim now in Lakewood in the 70s. I was by Bar Mitzvah here in Bell Harbor last week. The music was just like all the many wild Bar Mitzvahs these days.
Israeli?
I asked, what?
Israeli or
Israeli? Israeli type. And I asked him a Shvera Shiloh that we're in the middle of in Chulin, a Toma Tyra Gemara, on the spot, and you're able to ask him on the spot. You are. Literally music, and he closed his eyes in his deep concentration. He got himself into it, and I thought like maybe after a minute, he would tell me, no, now is not the time and place. After a minute, he starts, Pshatiz, Ayad, Oshoymer, and he started telling me on the spot. And then for me, it was too hard to concentrate. He hopped and it was too hard for me to concentrate. He's like, okay, maybe later we'll continue. But that's the point. Be able to, how many Rosh Yeshiva, how many stories do we hear about? They're sitting, right, Rav Bengis waiting for the bris and whatever, and finish shas during all those little times that you used to have a safer with him. That's the most, like, being able to sit amongst everything and lock yourself out. So there is a way that we can pull this to ourselves, that whatever it is, we're not talking about that a whole hour be like that. Try for a minute that it should be like that.
That is our battle.
People can't even concentrate like when they're doing like stam work.
That's the unfortunateness of today with the technology that everything's got to be every second. Arnesayan is that try for two seconds. Someone said for 3 seconds.
Simon, what's his name? I don't know, some guy Simon. He said, you see an older person working and a millennial. An older person working, his phone's here, and he's working. He said a millennial, his phone is here, his phone is here, and he's working, so he's working, and he's...
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His mom there's is
no,
not a minute.
Yeah, there's no concentration. Okay, no fine. That's the teleichu. That's the teleichu of the Aruch Hayim. Okay. Gishmeichem. V'nisati gishmeichem. I'm sorry, just go back on that for a second. Is Rabbi Yerucham? I have here. I think I wrote it correctly. It was from his grandson, so it makes sense. Let's go. For the first 24 years after he was married, he went for the whole year to learn. And he would go learn, and then he was only back for Pesach. And this was the I don't know, Shana Rishani, yeah, no. But the kids are after that. No, but this was the normal thing in Europe that they used to go. What's it called? Right? There's the famous story with Rabbi Hanan, that Rabbi Hanan got a telegram that he had a baby. He had a baby boy, so he went to Chavetz Chaim. Is he supposed to go to the bris? And Chavetz Chaim said, "Are you a mile?" And he said, "No." So he said, "So why are you going?" This was the normal. What? Maybe they said. Someone just told me a Maisa now. Let's go, Rabbi Price, or Maisa Price. Just told me a Maisa. I don't remember who it's with. That there was some masmid. I don't think it was a today Maisa necessarily. That he was by the bris. And, you know, in between everyone trying to get around and whatever, he had already told the kibbutzim over. So he sat down to learn right there. So they said to him,
"His kid's bris?"
They see his kid's bris. He said, "Yeah." He said to look at Gemara.
What's wrong?
So they leaned over to him in the minute. Vos is the nomen. What's the name? So he thought they meant asking him his name. You know, sometimes by the Mishabech, you're never sure father's name. So he thought they're asking him, what's your name to say? Whatever. So he said, Yaakov. So they named the baby Yaakov.
Yaakov and Yaakov?
What, you know, the punk, the father had two names, but yeah, that became the baby's name.
Oh my God.
So, Bekitzer, but the Yisoids were saying here is that if you're so that you're so locked in, you know, there's a funny thing that came out of it. But yeah,
my cousin named his kid by his, I don't know how, what was there, his father's second name, I don't know how.
Swarthy?
Not Swarthy no more.
Interesting, no, because there are what's got. No, my brother-in-law's Minig Italia, and by them, the Minig is that the father's name. Father's name goes to the oldest son as a middle name. In other words, grandfather go. Yeah. Badafka. The grandfather's name goes to father's son's. Three generations. Zadie's name is given by Tati to kid as second
name. So all three names are the same?
No. Only
grandfather. That's.
But they're alive.
That's the label they give. If your wife's a litvak, she gets the first name.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my
God. Yaakov is alive now. He stays in the yeshiva the entire week. He only goes home
once. What's it called? This is why Rav Gifter slept in the dorm. Even when they came back from... that's another musik. Rav Gifter slept in the dorm after he came back from Telstone from Eretz Yisrael because he couldn't deal with living in a nice zach, right? His wife was like, Yav azam musik. There. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so we have to try to do what we can. Okay, Gishmeichem is Parnasa. Reb Shmuel Dov Valken said for B'Shem B'Chavetz Chaim that someone who wants a bracha Parnasa, he used to say to them, the Chavetz Chaim used to say, it already says in the Torah, learn Torah and you'll get Parnasa. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that this is not even the Schar Mitzvah necessarily. This is Hashem's Hanhaga with people who do mitzvahs. The Ramban is mashma like this also, that when you do good, things will be good. Yes, we do see the biggest kasha of the entire Welt. Moshe asked the Eibishter, why do bad things happen to good people? Good, we're not dealing with that. But if you look good and well, you will be able to find how many, many Yirei Hashem and Tzadikim, we're not talking about Gedolim necessarily, it works out for them. Rabbi Yalevin, who we mentioned before, he was here. His wife told me that they were here one time. They needed to get back something, a flight. I don't remember, Hanukkah, whatever. They needed to get back to New York, to Lakewood. And she had called multiple airlines multiple times. Flights were way too expensive, whatever. And she went, Lamaisa, she went to him and told him the whole schedule and everything. And he said, nah, it's not going to go. Nah, I can't work like this. Try calling again. Sure enough, she called again, and there was a cheap flight like the next day or something like that. No, she had tried everything before.
There's spirit.
Okay, whatever it is.
Hey, wait 2 hours. It's fine. It's late.
The kids, sir. Okay, the brachas end off Ani Hashem Elokeichem, right before the klolos, and it's trying to say, right, that pasuk starts with an aleph, ends with a tough, say the Bali Taisis, that if you're Mekayim the whole Torah, which is from aleph to tough, then you'll get all these brachas. Okay.
Not going through the
Rav, huh? Well, 42 pshatim?
No.
Okay, v'achaltum lachemchem l'seiva v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. Okay, this is a cute shot. That basically it says that you'll eat your bread and you'll be fulfilled, and then you'll have peace. So says Rashi, what's going on over here? Shem, a person will say, good, I have money, I have clothes, I have this, I have that. But if I don't have peace, what's it all worth? Talmud Loimar, Hashem says, don't worry, you'll have peace also. Okay, fine.
All money in the world.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a good point.
If you don't have kids, it's very
hard. Yeah. No, good, wonderful. It's nice.
So you should have
But Lamaisa,
you should have money for that.
What?
I'm saying you should have money for that.
Yeah. So Lamaisa is a little schwer. So the Panami office for Hashem Gan Rava say a nice pshat. The Gemara Brachas Chafon Bey says, it says that Hashem will not be Yisapanim, he will not deal with anyone favorably more than necessary. We say by Brachas Kainim, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, right? We say that Hashem should be and will be Yisapanim to us, so, right? You say it. Hashem will be favorable to us. Stira, so says the Gemara. It's very simple. That Batsam the Pasuk says that we will bench after we are full.
Not before.
Yet, which is Machlekes from Rabbi Yehuda, whether after Kabetza, whether after Kazais, but the point is, we go and we're machmer on ourselves, even if we're not full, to bench after that teeny bit, if that's all we ate.
Really?
If you eat a kazayis of bread, even if you're not full, getting up and walking away.
Not on the kazayis.
Yeah, not on the kazayis. And you're getting up and walking away, you have to bench. You have to bench. So therefore, if we are if we go ahead and do that for Hashem, surely Hashem will be favorable to us. Right? We're giving up for Hashem, he'll give up to us. Oh, very nice. So now the problem is that over here, one of the brachas was that you'll eat a teeny bit and you'll be full. So if so, when you bench throughout daily life of that good period, you're not giving anything to Hashem. You're benching now after all this is a flush because you're full, right? Rashi says, you'll eat this much. What's wrong with that is that you're not giving anything up for Hashem. Now, Mele, you would think, hey, now we lost the Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha. We're not giving anything up for Hashem, so Hashem won't give anything up to be favorable to us. That's why it says an extra special when Asat Shalom Baritz, don't worry, I'll still give you Shalom.
As I thought you wanted to eat more, but I can't. I already said I want to eat more.
So there's another part that we mentioned last week, but we're speaking out this week in a little bit of a better oifen, right? It says that mamish, there's gonna be so much wheat. You're gonna be titzaching with the wheat here, there. You're gonna have so much of it. It's gonna be good.
So
how does that fit if we get the bracha of achatam lachem the oichel kimos barachameyav? That's one ha'ara. And then another ha'ara is that there's machlekes in the Medrash that when it says Vishpati Chai Ram in Ha'aretz, is there not going to be wild animals at all? Or they're going to be there and they're not going to bother us. Machlekes, I think, Rameir rebuked or Pshim rebuked. I don't remember who exactly. And also, just to connect from last week's parasha, like we mentioned, that there also it says that you're going to ask what's going to be with the 3 years and Hashem's going to give all this tefuah. Well, if they're doing good, then why do we need all this tefuah? Anyways, you'll be Eichel Kimos Baruch Me'ev. So Marshiva Rabbi Leif answered, I remember from who, that the Yisoid is that it depends who you are. For a normal person, he's going to ask Hashem he's going to ask Hashem what's going to be. That's why Hashem has to give the brach for all the 3 years. That's why Hashem has to give all this tevuah. And he'll need to eat that much. He won't have this special brach of it set in his stomach. And by the wild animals, he'll need them away because it's too scary. But you know what? Someone who lives on extremely high level with Hashem, okay, this is what there is now. Fine. This is what I'll eat. Hey, I'm full. Well, of course I'm full. Hashem will leave me with all I need. So if this is all that's left, of course I'm going to be eating and be full. That's the higher level. Those people don't ask. They will be okay by Shemitah during those years. They will be okay with the Eichel Kimos Baruch Me'ev. They will be okay with the wild animals walking around them and not be afraid of them, and they'll be on such a high level that the animal, it will be like Adam Kodem Achet, when there was still that Selam Elikim on them, that the animals were partially afraid. So that was an extremely, extremely high level.
I wish.
So that's what we're explaining. Yeah, big mandrago. Okay. Who's
on that mandrago?
Who's on that mandrago? I know, I heard the matzav. He said that Dain Dunner called him. It's Emes. Yeah, interesting. What?
I'm not going to do that. I wasn't there. I vaguely remember
from living to Hermes like 10 years ago. But apparently, Rabbi Deutsch said the episodes are Chaim, that whatever, that there's a lot called Selim Lekim. The animals are afraid. So someone who doesn't do Averis doesn't have to be afraid of animals. Right. And the Epis, he walked into the lion's cage or something like that with no tamers, no trainers, whatever. No. He was asked to. He was saying it over, and he was asked to do it. And it's something like a Rambam that if something's in public, you're not allowed to deny it. Then you have to do. If they ask you, otherwise it'll be a Chil Hashem. And then he felt it was the audience, a Goyim. I don't know who. Kitzer, he did it. But Kitzer, Dayan Donner, he said afterwards that Dayan Donner called him up, heard about it, and called him up, and said to him the next time he's doing it, he wants to do it with him. Why? So first of all, okay, if I say it's Dayan Donner, I have no problem with Dayan Donner holding that he himself has not done a verse in a way that he's done like him. But because he wants to show people that it's not an ace. It's a metzias. It's nature. I don't know, because it's not what's it called. Dugmas, what's it called? Chavetz Chaim and Rabbi Chanan, that the Nazis are daima to Purim, where it's against our goal, so we're not supposed to go fight. Mashayin Kein Chanukah is the Yevonim, or it's against the Das, so that's why the Chashmonaim had to go up and fight. And he said, and we really should get up and fight, we just don't have a leader to go do it. I guess.
Do you remember who came? Someone came and did a lot of books. He spoke by Shari. You know? That's his name? He said the story. He's not always a younger guy. He said, no, it was, I actually heard him, after he said the story, I heard him say it over on Travis. He said he walked a snake cage. He signed every single paper that he went to the zoo, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So they made him sign every single document under the sun that he can, for zero liability. He walked into a full snake. And mom, I think everywhere, like 3 or 4 days, and I guess maybe someone took some pictures, and he left. And so then, someone asked him after, why do? He's like, I know Hilchos Shabbos is cold. I know every single mission. He's like, I have enough tacha that I'm not going to get hurt. So he said, so then someone asked, why about your son? He's like, my son doesn't know it all yet. But he's like, when he does, like, maybe I'll bring him back.
What does one have to do the other? How can he use his knowledge and just
that, walk through? I heard him say
also
that.
Also,
if a person Shem Shabbos, then they have the Shem Hashem on the fourth. Yeah. I saw a picture of him with the ball constrictor wrapped around it.
Yeah, he said that.
I
don't argue that. He said that.
I hear.
Okay.
This is what I said. Don't get hit by cars if you know all.
No. He has an effect. If you know if it's Shabbos cold, you don't get hurt. That's
by what? Anything.
Go.
Okay. Vinosati Shalom Ba'aretz. The Evan Ezra says it means Beinechem, and so to Ayin the Ramban that says Ish Ba'achiv. So first of all, this is brotherly love, relative love. The amount of fights that unfortunately happen amongst Yidden. It we're saying won't happen here, and we have to strive to that. And you could even say that it's between Frum and Fry. There were many unfortunate stories a couple of years ago, literally during the week of Parshas Bechukai, happened about that the Fry gave in to Arabs on requests that they made, whether it was in university or different things, of that they respected them, but Yidden, from a Yidden who asked for certain things, whether the Mahadran bus or whatever, they were turned down. They did this part. In other words, we're seeing in our times how there is not shalom. What?
The question is a scary person.
I'm saying it's things are mekayim.
There's curses in this person.
Yeah,
there's
both,
right?
Yeah.
So what happened to the Yidden?
Agav Roshach, my Rosh Rabbi Leif used to say, the Roshach would say that in Hanami in Europe they understood what the klalos were and it meant something to them. So that's why they used to read it fast. But today. No one understands it. Fakir, we should read it slow and loud, and maybe someone will get some service. That's what Rav Shatki used to say.
I understand. So, what happened to the youth who were fraud?
We need WhatsApp chat.
Asking for the what?
The
whatever it was, nothing happened. We're not saying anything. We're just saying that the Nasati Shalom Ba'aretz. In other words, that unfortunately there is not. It'll be a bracha to have interrelationships. Okay. The pause, it was a peladika, peladika targum yonison. Vim loisish muli, if you won't listen to me, says the targum yonison. V'in loisitzpoin, if you don't want l'mishva, to listen, l'ofan me'alfei roisi, to listen to Torah from my Torah teachers. In other words, what's it called? For instance, the Gemara Bracha says, even if you learn a year, but if you learn a year without a Rebbe, you're an Amma Oretz and you cannot be included in Zimun. Doesn't make a difference in Berachas HaZimun, whatever the Gemara is talking about over there. Well, from a zoom in. We're not saying Allah HaMaisa, we're saying what the Gemara says. Al-Kapon, what we're trying to make out of here. The point, let's get the point. The point is that no matter what age you are, you need to be with a Rebbe. I don't remember the Maisa exactly, but I believe that after Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was Nifter, Reb Baruch Ber went to maybe Reb Chaim Oizer. I don't remember who, and he was not, it could be Reb Baruch Ber was even older than him, or at least the same age, and he went to him and said, I need a Rebbe. So what? Everyone always needs a Rebbe. And therefore, what's it called? And you see, we're talking about is locking this into the klala that no, I'm good. For you know that maybe it's Rabbi Kiva, the Talmidim, I know because of that they maybe they feel this. I don't know, but Al Kaponim, it's a very, very, very important thing that people shouldn't say. We've said this mice over before with the Kutzker that one of his chassidim came and he said, "Oh, we didn't see you in a long time," and he said, "Can't shine a light. I'm good on my own." And the next day, basically. But I'll show this is what the Kotzker spoke about that Avada doesn't mean sit by your Rebbe your whole life. Take your Rebbe with you, learn from him, and continue, whatever, keep up. But to just, no, I'm living by myself, I'm done, I'm good, that's not how we work.
Yeah.
Exactly, that's not how we work. That's not how we work.
Your Rebbe calls you during dinner months,
and then after that. It says, in one of the clauses, that no one will be running after you. So it says, man, what Mamish said, azak klol, you'll be running and no one's going to be chasing you. Well, isn't that good?
It's good, yeah.
Isn't that good? Exactly. Exactly. Now, you could hear why that's a klol, huh? Like, ha, ha, ha. But Lamaisa, why wouldn't we rather no one chasing us? So the answer, I think it's the Gain says that there's a pasuk that says, Hashem Elikim, Hashem Yivakish Asanirdov. He will, we've mentioned the story before, that Hashem will be mevakish. He will go after those who are chased. He will want to find them and do good for them. We mentioned this before with the Briskurav and the Shaykhit, right? I think he said that when I mentioned this before, I've said this many times, that he'd want to send them out because then if he sends the guy out of the room, then we become the bad guys who are throwing him out. Basically, the point is that if we do bad to someone, then we become the targeted man by Hashem.
Oh yeah.
So therefore, if goyim are chasing us, it's horrible. But you know what? Hashem will get them. But if no one's chasing us, then there's no one that Hashem is gonna go get to make the situation better.
Could you also say that we'll be running to try to make deals, and no one will be running after us to buy from us?
That could be some. So yeah, that goes into the business. Yeah, definitely. I hear. Could be. Maybe.
That's like 95% of the Jews doing a good job.
Yeah. Just right there. Also, v'rodafi some kol el nidaf, it will sound like the leaves will be making noise as if you'll think people are coming. Kliyoker says this could be referring to that people talk about things like the wind and the leaves, that there's nothing to it. And the best people of the day, this is in the Kliyoker's days, are those who can, I mean, in our sprach, stuck people out and make up stories and lies and get the best story going to make fun of people. And he goes and it says the lashon of the Kleyakar, Mida Zulavada Taspik Arichas Golusenu. This Mida is enough to explain the length of our Golus. And unfortunately, it's just rampant today that to be the best guy is the guy who could say the best zog, the best line, they get the guy the best. One, you have to realize that kol nidav, there's nothing to it. We have to move away from that. To end off with the interesting Abar Benel and Sefer Yeshua's Mashiach or something like that, he says, why are some cities have Yidden, some cities don't have Yidden? Africa, you don't really find any Yidden at all. You don't find much going on. So he says, Hashem sends the Refuah Kaidim Lamaka. We have Sukkis, Lulav, we have Purim, the Megillah, Chanukah, Pesach, so many weird things that the guy might laugh at us. You know what Hashem did? Hashem created, I don't know what this means, but Hashem created a Yeshu, and he created a Meshuggah, a Muslim, to go make religions where they do retarded things also. And then Mamel in the Goyim's eyes, we won't be so strange because there are other strange things in the world already, so Mamela will be able to go on with our Yiddishkeit. Mashenkin, for instance, in Africa, that there are, Hashem didn't necessarily send, okay, maybe South Africa, but you see that Golas did not necessarily send us throughout Rave of Africa. Okay, that's why you don't necessarily have any of these Christians or Muslims out there. Good. They have their own tribes with their own retarded things over there. Fine. But the point's being brought out from the Abar Ben Abez Hashem, we should be Zeichet Tev Rasati, Mishkani, Zeichet Hashem, Agut and Shabbos.